From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In just a moment, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings another portion of this week's message, Lessons for Christian Living from the Life of Christ. In Matthew chapter 17, the Lord Jesus revealed much about himself in the incident of the temple tax. Although as the Son of God, he was exempt from such a duty, yet in a demonstration of his humility, he paid the tax, and that by a miracle. Here is a lesson for us. If we would be used of God, we must empty ourselves for the sake of others. First, in today's hot topic, Dr. Cairns reveals the appalling truth that God has been banned from British public life.
Yesterday, I reported on a question put to Republican presidential candidates in a recent debate. The questioner asked if they believed the Bible. He received answers from three candidates, the only ones to whom the moderator put the question. The point, however, is that the question was put and answered in a public debate before an important presidential primary. By contrast, Britain's ex-Prime Minister Tony Blair recently said this: "It's difficult if you talk about religious faith in our political system. If you're in the American political system or others, then you can talk about religious faith, and people say, yes, that's fair enough. And it is something they respond to quite naturally. You talk about it in our system, and frankly, people do think you're a nutter." Close the quote. A nutter, of course, is an English way of saying a lunatic. Now, Tony Blair's an Episcopalian who's soon to announce his defection from the Church of England to the Church of Rome. He has been speaking of his deep religious faith. His aides say that he carried a Bible with him wherever he went and read it daily, especially the last thing before going to bed at night. Blair has confirmed that his beliefs influenced his political decisions. Actually, I have to wonder a lot about this. Tony Blair was a consummate politician, and his political decisions were almost entirely decisions that arose out of political expediency or out of a left-wing socialist philosophy. He could never have justified promoting a whole slew of practicing homosexuals to positions of power because he was influenced by the moral standards of Scripture. His government was as morally corrupt as any you could meet with. Mr. Blair's deep religious convictions did not influence him one bit toward removing it as a cancer from the body politic. However, he makes a valid point when he notes the difference between the US and Britain, or for that matter, between the US and Europe generally. Whereas in the US, questions about faith and scripture are legitimate, and even a vital part of the public debate, in the UK and other European countries, any politician who speaks of God and his word will be treated, as Mr. Blair says, like a nutter, a lunatic who needs to be locked up. A political leader who reads the Bible is looked on as a threat to the welfare of the nations. He may read pornography or Marxism and be hailed as a scholarly statesman, but if he reads God's word, he's deemed to be mad and certainly not to be entrusted with the nation's security. In Britain, according to one commentator, less than one-third of the population believes in God in anything like a Christian sense. Another third believe in something, though they can't tell what. And then half the population seems to think religion is harmful, while fewer than 20% think is beneficial. In this climate, you can see why, during his years in office, Tony Blair kept largely silent on all mention of God, as Alistair Campbell, Blair's equivalent to George Bush's Karl Rove, said, "We don't do God here." One excuse made for excluding God from public life is the fear of religious extremism. That's a valid fear. Nobody wants to encourage another Muslim zealot to fly a plane into a building with the name of Allah on his lips. Still, it says a lot about the fall of Britain when there's no distinction between the truth of God in Christ and the fallacy of a religion like Islam. Britain used to be a nation whose whole civilization and whose underpinnings in society were built on the Christian revelation. Today, it's a nation adrift from its moorings, a nation without God, a nation that is all too clearly fulfilling the awful prophecy of Psalm 9:17, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and the nations that forget God."
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life of the Apostle Peter. The articles will be both informative and inspirational. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
The Son of God, owing nothing to the law, makes himself subject to the law. He makes a payment of a debt he did not owe. And he does it for people who couldn't pay their own. That is the very nub of the gospel message. If you're here this morning with a load of guilt and sin, I want you to understand that sin and that guilt will not go away by your denying it. You may seek to evade the payment of the tribute, as it were. You may seek to evade the force and the condemnation of the law, but you cannot run forever. It is there to be met, to be faced, to be confessed. But wherewith will you pay it? It's not the payment of a penny or two. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The man that doesn't continue in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them is condemned by everything in the book of the law. And cursed by God. So where will you pay? And with what will you pay? Let me tell you, there is no grace in the popish gospel that you pay either by prayers or by gifts or by works. There is no grace in the pseudo-Calvinistic gospel. And I say pseudo, for it is neither Calvinistic nor gospel. That you prepare yourself by the depth of your feeling, or the hotness of your tears, or the sincerity of your lamenting. There is no merit in anything that any man can do to pay to God Almighty. But I want to tell you, there's power in Jesus' blood. Jesus paid it all. All. Throughout the New Testament, therefore, the command to the man in debt to God is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You recognize your debt? Then let me point you to Him who frees the debtor, because He has personally paid the debt. The Lord Jesus owed nothing, paid everything. And as Peter got that sight of Christ, it was with that that he went out into the world. It was with that that he went out into the service of the kingdom. It was with that that he could face life and death and eternity. I have a Savior who is the very Son of God, and He assumed my debt in all humility and in all grace. Peter learned from the example of the Savior here as well. So said, you see His great humility. There's a wonderful statement that the Lord Jesus makes in verse 27, having established the fact that He was exempt from the tribute. Remember, in those days, even common rabbis were counted exempt from the tax. On that ground alone, Christ could have claimed exemption. But do you notice what He says? Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, we'll pay. Stop there and think for a minute. Even nowadays, is there a more despised figure than the tax collector? In those days, they were not a beloved people either. And yet, He says, lest we should offend them. But they're nobodies. Who are they? Why should I worry about a tax collector? Why should I worry about an unbeliever? Why should I worry about such a specimen of humanity as this? Why? Not because of what he is, but because of what you profess to be. You profess to be a Christian. You profess the name of the Son of God. There's something much more important than your rights. And that's the honor and the glory of the name of Jesus Christ. Lest we should offend them, I'll give up my rights to establish the honor of the Savior's name. You and I are in many ways just like Peter here. He had just come down from the mountain of glory, and now he's right into the everyday crises of life. What do you need first? You need a sight of the Lord Jesus. And with that sight, there's a second lesson you've got to learn, and Christ makes it very clear here. That if you're ever going to be great in the service of God, you must be emptied of self and you must learn to live in humility. This is what Matthew 18, the first 14 verses, are all about. This question, who's the greatest in the kingdom? Who is the greatest? Mark tells us that they disputed. by the way, who the greatest would be. Luke tells us that there arose a reasoning, an argument. I don't know the exact trigger for this, but I would imagine that there was a lot of talk among the disciples when the Lord Jesus took Peter, James, and John away for a few days up and they went to the Mount. We have paid attention only to what was happening when the Father brought his demonized son and they couldn't cast the devil out. But can you imagine all those days when Christ was gone? The other three disciples were gone. Can you imagine the kind of talk, doubts that were going on among the other disciples? Why is he taking Peter and James and John? Why not me? Who are they that I'm not? What do they have that I don't? Have I not followed them? Have I not led my life in the line just as they have? I think those are the things that were going on. I don't know. I would not be surprised when I read on in Mark and Luke about, especially about James and John. And I would not be surprised, given the natural impetuosity of Peter, that when those three came down, they might well have had a sort of an arrogant attitude. They might well have been more than a little superior in their treatment of the others. I don't know. I can only say that when I look at their character and their behavior in other situations, I wouldn't be surprised. All I do know is that here you have the disciples of Christ and they're in the final run-up to the greatest event in history, and they are going to be part of a mighty explosion of the power of God on the earth. And what are they doing? They're fighting like cats and dogs. The world is going to hell, and God's people are at each other's throat. And they're not disputing about some great doctrine. They're not standing in defense of some great item of the faith. It's, look at me. What's my place? You're not giving enough attention to me. I don't have enough prominence. I don't have enough thanks for what I have done. Nobody notices what I have done. Isn't it time you took notice of my worth? That's the kind of thing that was going on. And I tell you, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Here we are 2,000 years later. And are things any different? Are we not still quick to jump to our own defense? To establish our own worth? Is it not true that here we are now in the run-up, not to the death of Christ, but to the appearing of Christ? And what is happening? God's people again spending more time fighting each other than fighting the devil. We all want praise and place and prominence. The Lord Jesus, when he took that little child, called him to him and set him in the midst, gave him a classic answer of simplicity and incisiveness on the subject of humility. We have been watching the birds out through our breakfast room window. We sit there and we look at the birds in the mornings. The Barneses were noting how many different kinds of birds. This year we've had more kinds of birds, I think, than we've ever seen before. Every shape and size. Well, not every size. We don't have the huge ones. Do you ever notice that it's only small birds that sing? Do you ever hear an eagle sing? You ever hear a great big winged brute sing? Maybe a parable there. May well be a parable there. The Lord Jesus is teaching us humility.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.